This is Alex Pearson.
One of the things we've seen, unfortunately, over the past years is a rise in anti-Asian racism linked to the pandemic, and concerns being risen around people's loyalties. I want to make everyone understand fully. Han Dong is an outstanding member of our team, and suggestions that he is somehow not loyal to Canada should not be entertained.
We're into the racist card part of the scandal. And a good morning to you, Alex Pearson, with you on this Tuesday, February 28th. And we round out the month of February. Went fast, went very quick, and here we go. Very eventful these last couple of weeks. And the Prime Minister, as you hear, the new line of attack that those asking questions about his MP being a Chinese loyalist is anti-Asian hate. I would consider having Chinese police stations, you know, torturing and bullying our Chinese Canadians a little bit more, you know, something that the Prime Minister would want to look at. But no, he'd rather use the race card to stifle a conversation. And he's still refusing an independent investigation into several claims of electoral interference in both 2019 and the 2021 election. And he's still insisting that his government's going to investigate itself using this committee hearing that will not be able to look at classified material and has already refused testimony from those who have been briefed by CSIS on national security. And he made clear he is standing by his MP, alleged to be one of 11 candidates funded by Chinese consulate back in the 2019 election for the riding of Don Valley North. And Global News, as you know, the reports say that the Prime Minister's office had been alerted about their concerns on this candidate, but those concerns were ignored. And Trudeau refused to say if he had been warned and instead turned the question into an attack on CSIS.
In a free democracy, it is not up to unelected security officials to dictate to political parties who can or cannot run. That's a really important principle. We, of course, draw on the expertise every step of the way. But the suggestions we've seen in the media that CSIS would somehow say, no, this person can't run or that person can't run, is not just false. It's actually damaging to people's confidence in our democratic and political institutions.
Mm-hmm. No one said CSIS had or should have a hand in the decision-making. The report says CSIS raised concerns at the highest level of the Prime Minister's office. Those are two different things. And Trudeau refuses to answer. He also refused to confirm it was he who signed off on this particular nomination, but has made clear he is standing by his MP. Dong, the MP in question, denies all of these allegations. And Trudeau, as you heard, said entertaining whatever Sam Cooper's reporting is not just wrong, but damaging. Kind of like, you know, when the Globe and Mail was wrong about SNC. You know, his former advisor and best friend Gerald Butts was attacking the Globe and Mail, calling them juvenile on Friday. And now he has flip-flopped his position. And now he, too, is calling for an independent inquiry. So all of a sudden, I guess the news is no longer fake to him. I assure you, any kind of investigative or legal in-depth reporting like this goes through a lot of layers of sourcing. I've had to do it a lot, and it's not fun. And so when it would come to anything that Sam Cooper has done, trust me, his work would go through layer upon layer upon layer of lawyers and executives and news directors, and then it would go through it again. Because allegations like this, like electoral interference with an enemy regime, that stuff doesn't just get reported. Like, what newsroom is taking on that risk? They're not. So those things don't go to air without several layers of fact-checking and sourcing. So for the Prime Minister to insinuate, you know, that Cooper is lying, is a page right out of Donald Trump's playbook. You know, malign the mainstream media, give him cover. If the Prime Minister has nothing to hide, he should put his money where his mouth is and just lay it all out in this independent inquiry. Except for he's insisting now that will undermine democracy. I mean, if the media is wrong, prove it. I mean, while he's so determined to hunt out the CSIS, you know, informants spilling his secrets, who's to say this is even coming from Canada? Our Five Eye partners have all of this information. Maybe they're leaking it. Maybe they feel so sorry for us, they're just saying, here, we'll just give it to you because you guys aren't doing anything about this. I mean, Lord knows every day we wake up and there's something new. Today, the Globe and Mail reporting, well, it's not really an unknown chapter, but it's the chapter we call Follow the Dollar, right? I say that a lot. Because when you follow the dollar, it reveals that once Justin Trudeau became the leader of the Liberal Party back in 2013, the Chinese government became very, very charitable all of a sudden with the Trudeau Foundation, which saw foreign donations go up from $53 million in 2014 to $535 million by 2016. That's not bad, eh? The Globe reports CSIS captured conversations back in 2014 revealing China's absolute determination to get rid of Stephen Harper because, according to China, red is good, blue is bad. So, yeah, I say follow the dollar. It's always the way it leads you to your answers. So we'll see what comes out today, because chances are something else will come out today.
This is Alex Pearson, Toronto's news, today's talk, 640 Toronto.
It is extremely important, as you say, that Canadians see that this is open, transparent, nonpartisan, independent, because we're all concerned and worried about our elections' integrity. And that's why we have put in place mechanisms, why we continue to see hearings on this in parliamentary committee, why we continue to be open and transparent. Because yes, openness and transparency is extraordinarily important.
Mm-hmm. Well, despite all the calls for an independent inquiry, Justin Trudeau firmly against it, arguing that he's got this committee looking into this. And the tools he says he's got is this task force that was put together during the 2019 election. But we know that Erin O'Toole's campaign brought issues to this panel and nothing was done, according to their team. And the committee now studying this is, and so far has refused to allow top-level Liberals from testifying. And classified documents apparently cannot be viewed within this particular format. So there's a limit as to what can be looked into. And growing concerns that unless it is truly independent, this will be nothing more than a partisan fight to score political points, and it will further drive, you know, distrust. Let me bring Duff Conacher into this conversation, co-founder of Democracy Watch. Good to have you on, Duff. I haven't talked to you in a while.
No, indeed. Thank you very much. Hope all is well.
Well, we've talked about this a few times as we've kind of watched the drip, drip, drip come out over this. On Monday, Trudeau said that a public inquiry is not necessary because, you know, it will undermine democracy. We would just be playing into China's hands. You say what?
Well, I don't think a public inquiry is necessarily needed. If the Commissioner of Canada Elections does her job properly, and Democracy Watch has filed a complaint with her today, if the House committee that is currently holding hearings does its job properly, and if the National Security Committee of Parliamentarians also does its job properly, we're paying all these people already. They have full investigative powers, all of them. They would be able to get at any document as much as any inquiry would. And we're already paying them, so we don't need an inquiry if they do their jobs properly, investigate fully, get all the key information out, and issue public reports with that key info and recommendations for changes to strengthen the system, which were not made strong enough in the 2018 bill that the Liberals put through.
Yeah, the key word is if they do it properly. The problem is, as you know, is everything is so partisan, and even the Prime Minister himself, in trying to deflect on this, has pulled out all these partisan attacks when he's the one raising them. And so, you know, given there's such division in this country on that, there can't be, as I see it, an impartial investigation the way this particular committee is set up. Right now, the Liberals have more members on it than you've got the NDP who are backing them, and they've already said that they won't allow people like Katie Telford to testify. So I think as people see that, unless you can actually take this out of the hands of the current players, I don't see how it can be seen as impartial or getting it done.
But people should remember that the Prime Minister chooses the inquiry commissioner or commissioners if there was an inquiry. So how is that less partisan?
I think you raise a good point. I think a lot of people will start wondering, who is actually defending the democracy? Because if you're just filing a complaint now with a commissioner, because there's Elections Canada, then there's the commissioner. They're separate bodies. You know, Elections Canada didn't learn this until Sam Cooper reported it before Christmas, and the commissioner. You know, if they've got to be requested to look into this, I mean, why are they not more proactive? Because as the allegations have been out for a while.
They may be. The commissioner may be looking into it already, but the commissioner won't confirm or deny an investigation. But by filing a request and also a request for a public report at the end of the investigation, we're forcing the commissioner to issue that public report, essentially. Because the commissioner, it's a new commissioner, but the old commissioner had a practice of issuing a letter of response to any complainant when an investigation was concluded. And so hopefully that would continue in this case. Again, though, an inquiry would not have the power to look at anything more than anyone else. A committee can subpoena a witness. It really is up to the NDP. If the NDP wants an inquiry, then they can continue to block the committee and essentially force Trudeau's hand, because they have a legislative agreement right now and they could force Trudeau's hand to call an inquiry. But I don't see a reason why the committee can't be asking these questions. Yes, they're partisan, but they do in the end ask all the essential questions coming from one party or another. Of anyone that they ask to appear, and they can subpoena documents as well. And it's a contempt of Parliament to refuse to disclose those documents.
Yeah, and the position of Jagmeet Singh now is that he is pushing for an independent investigation. But again, we've seen talk is cheap. He does have the power to pull support, but we'll see where he'll go with this. You know, in your complaint, what is your, as you look at this, because we've had weigh-in from, Richard Fadden, from the former head of CSIS. We've had the former commissioner of the elections weigh in. What's your greatest concern outlined in your letter?
Well, essentially, the Canada Elections Act prohibits collusion between third parties and candidates or parties. You can't make donations on behalf of someone else. You can't funnel money through someone else. You can't be colluding to support parties and candidates. The Bill C-76 didn't actually made things worse by doubling the spending limits for third parties. Those are individuals or outside groups trying to influence candidates or parties. It weakened the rules that allow for more false claims. But these things are illegal in terms of donating foreign money, using foreign money in an election campaign as a third party. And so that's what we've highlighted as the likely violations, according to the media reports that have been made so far by Global News and the Globe and Mail, based on CSIS sources. So there are several violations possible out of this situation.
Yeah, I mean, one of the concerns raised today, certainly reported by the Globe and Mail, and it's not new. The National Post a couple of years ago laid out kind of, the donations to Trudeau when he became the leader of the Trudeau Foundation, where you had this money from $53 million and it spiked up a lot. The suggestion being that there was money going in being donated by foreign interests, in this case, China. And there's concern over the person now writing the report about electoral, disinformation and or interference, a guy named Maurice Rosenberg, because he was the head of the Trudeau Foundation. Their suggestion is that he's not impartial enough to do, a proper report on electoral reform if he was, involved in the Trudeau Foundation.
No, very much so. He's not independent in any way. He was chosen by Trudeau's cabinet. As well, the whole panel that is supposed to be enforcing this protocol and reporting to candidates and parties about interference and the public, the panel is all chosen by Trudeau. They all serve at his pleasure. They're all deputy ministers, assistant deputy ministers. There's no independence in what the Trudeau Liberals set up in 2018, 2019. There's no penalties if the panel violated any part of the protocol process that they're supposed to be following. The process sets a much too high threshold. Essentially, the interference would have to threaten the entire national election and the freeness and fairness of it in order for them to do a public report, which is ridiculous. If it threatens even one candidate, there should be a public mm-hmm. report. There's no deadlines for them issuing public reports and informing the public about the interference. And then as we were just talking about, the assessment process, the cabinet gets to choose who assesses it. That's a partisan political process. And unbelievably, they chose the former head of the Trudeau Foundation. And
yeah.
I don't know why they thought anyone would think that that's an independent assessment of whether the protocol and Trudeau's cabinet panel actually worked to effectively stop interference in the 2021 election. So it's just a sad joke, the whole system. Bill C-76 left huge loopholes open and weakened the rules in key ways. And the changes are clear in terms of what's needed to stop this stuff. And let's get on with it.
Yeah, that would be nice. Just before I let you go, though, Duff, I mean, to point out, I mean, Michael Sona, once upon a time, he went to jail for 9 months over robocalls. Dean Del Mastro went to jail over violating fundraising for his campaign. I mean, there were serious consequences given to two conservatives who went over the limit or whatever. I look at this allegation as far more serious. And I think if we can get to the bottom of those things, but those took years for Elections Canada to investigate.
Yes, it can take a while, but apparently there are reports out there and CSIS should be making all those reports public, and that would get the Commissioner of Canada Elections well on her way to investigating these things. In terms of a change, you mentioned the donations made to the Trudeau Foundation that were very suspicious, including, as the Globe and Mail is reporting this morning, from two China-connected businessmen. And those kind of donations should not be allowed. You shouldn't be, if you're not allowed to donate to a candidate or a party millions of dollars, you shouldn't be allowed to donate to the favorite charity of a party leader or an MP. Those kind of connected donations should also be prohibited in terms of their size. You could donate a small amount, $75, $100. And that's one of the key things as well, is lower the donation limit. The donation limit is currently mm-hmm. so high. The spending limits are so high for third parties. It's really easy to collude and funnel money through to candidates and parties secretly and have it very difficult to catch.
Yeah.
And if you collude with a nomination race contestant as a third party, it's actually legal. It's not even illegal for that kind of collusion between interest groups and individuals and nomination race contestants or party leadership contestants, which is a huge loophole in our election law.
Yeah, I think we have way, way too many loopholes. But nonetheless, I guess we're going to get a real exercise in how this plays out. I appreciate it, Duff. We'll talk again. I have a feeling.
Yeah, and I'm happy to call for a public inquiry if these committees and the commissioner do not do their job properly.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we might have to. Stay tuned. We'll see what happens. Thanks, Duff.
Take care.
That is Duff Conacher. So there you go. That filed complaint is now in with Elections Canada. There's Commissioner of Canada Elections, and then there's Elections Canada. It's very confusing. But let me just tell you, they work at a snail's pace. So this investigation should take probably about 20 years. In about 20 years, when I'm 104, we'll find out. We've got a thing that's cold, red eye love.
We've got a light in the sky. Red eye love.
You are listening to Alex Pearson, Toronto's News, Today's Talk, 640 Toronto.
Like many countries around the world, we're looking carefully at how to ensure Canadians are kept safe online. And we're making the decision that for government employees, for government equipment, it is better to not have them access TikTok because of the concerns that people have in terms of safety. This may be a first step. It may be the only step we need to take. But every step of the way, we're going to be making sure we're keeping Canadians safe.
There you go. So as the Prime Minister tries to blunt all these questions about Chinese interference, who knew what and when, we get this news that the Trudeau government has proactively banned the Chinese-owned social media app, TikTok. You've been hearing about this certainly in the news over the last 24 hours. So if you're a government employee at the federal level, you can't have that thing on your device as of today. And apparently the provincial governments are looking at this as well. The concern, of course, is how China uses the privacy, security, and data collection in favor of them. I mean, they don't let, this is their app, they don't let it in their own country. So you got to wonder, like, if China doesn't allow this in their country, why would we want to allow it in ours? But this, of course, is in lockstep with a number of European countries that are banning this. Several U.S. states are also calling for this kind of ban. The FBI wants a total ban, last I read. So right now it's just for government devices, but if it's so dangerous, should it be gone altogether? Let me ask. Christian Luprecht, professor over at Royal Military College, also expert on security and defense, author of the new book, Polar Cousins, Antarctic and Arctic Geostrategic Futures. He joins us now. Good to have you.
Good morning, Alex.
All righty. So give me your reaction, because this wasn't really on the radar. It's not been a big conversation, certainly in Canada. We know that the U.S. has been talking about this quite aggressively, but I was a bit surprised to see the speed of this announcement as of yesterday, and it's in effect today.
Yeah, I think the timing is unfortunate in the sense that it appears to coincide with the pace at which this has also been moving in the U.S. So there seems to be a broader coordinated effort. Congress had already voted in December on this issue, and the Biden administration appears to have issued a directive that requires these TikTok to be removed within the next 30 days, basically actioning the vote by Congress. Whether intentional or incidental, it appears that the announcement by the Canadian government now is meant to mitigate some of the fallout from the government looking to slow roll the issue of Chinese interference and perhaps offset some of the criticism that they've received. And so inherently, whether that is the government intentionally politicizing the issue of TikTok for its own benefit, or the mere appearance of doing so, even though it appears to be doing it in tandem with the United States. I think the appearance is, of course, unfortunate, because, of course, the China file has already been too politicized in this country, and not enough sensible decisions have been made on the timeline that would have been required.
Yeah, there's a couple of different sides of this story, so I'll get to the technology itself and the threat in just a minute. But just to kind of expand on what you're talking about as far as the timing and the politics at play here. I mean, the Five Eye partners have made very clear they're not happy with this country, our soft stance on China. You know, they've cut us out of a lot of conversations with, national security. So there has been pressure on this government to get tough. And so when they hear about this political interference and all these games, they're watching.
And I mean, look, if you're China and you're trying to influence the United States, you know it's going to be much more difficult in the United States, given the U.S. Yeah. intelligence apparatus, given that the U.S. has much more rigorous laws on this. So it doesn't take much to figure out that there's another country on this continent. And so if you can't get directly at the United States, trying to exert influence in Canada is about as good a second best option as is at your disposal. So from a strategic perspective, this shouldn't come as a surprise. And then, of course, if that sort of political warfare is part of your grand strategy, then you would also want to leverage whatever technology you might have access to. And so this is why it's troubling that it took the Trudeau government years to make a decision on Huawei. And now it at least appears that the government took quite some time to make a decision on TikTok and possibly is using it for its own political benefit. And, all this is, it doesn't send the right signals. We need to be doing this on principle. And realizing that China poses and Chinese activities pose a real and grave threat to this country, its democracy, its prosperity, and that these are just part of the broader hybrid gray zone activities below the threshold of armed conflict that China has been waging in terms of political warfare against this country in particular, but against other allies for years.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you look at the numbers of how many kids and people use TikTok, which I absolutely can't stand, I think it's a cancer on society. So I'm not sad at all about this. It says, you know, it goes against my censorship ways. However, on this app, I don't like it. But it is a very popular, 87% of Canadian teens, 7 to 17, are on this app. And then you look to the United States. I mean, it's huge. 50 million under 14 are on this app. So they've got a huge audience of people who love this, especially the kids. China now looking at the ban of the app, saying it's an abuse of state power. And so they're not happy about this. But if it's such a threat, Christian, why not just get rid of it altogether? Do you see that as ultimately what will happen?
Well, of course, the Chinese response couldn't be more hypocritical, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reciprocity in that regard in China, right? China is happy to ban access to all sorts of media on all sorts of completely spurious grounds just because they happen not to be spewing exactly the sort of pro-regime propaganda that China is trying to channel to its domestic audience. So, I mean, China has nothing to say on this file. The two concerns here are, given the large use base of TikTok, just having access to the users and the database of users is a significant advantage from a signals intelligence perspective. And then, of course, you could get access to the actual data of the users in terms of what they are watching and understand sort of some of the patterns. Because if you understand the patterns of what some of these youth are watching, then you can leverage the TikTok app to spread dis and misinformation and to influence this younger generation. And of course, China is always playing ahead. You know, if nothing else, then the Chinese are the Chinese regime is pretty smart about this and has patience. That it is looking to influence those teenagers from today. Those are the voters of tomorrow. And so using the TikTok app and the database that it's gathered and their behavior to be very systematic about using that to further interfere and influence our democratic process.
Yeah, when they're 40, these kids will be getting phone calls saying, remember when you did that dance naked? And I've got those pictures. And anyway, just quickly before I let you go, Christian, will there be retaliation by China, whether it's over the interference and embarrassing them or coming out or the removal of TikTok?
Yeah, I mean, look, if we look at the reaction to the balloons, it was pretty modest compared to the way China had come out swinging with its patriotic, nationalist, populist rhetoric in the past. Given the troubles that Xi Jinping is in, the biggest problem for China right now is not Canada making decisions on TikTok. There'll probably be some harshly worded statements, but I think the Chinese regime currently has bigger problems on its hands.
Yeah, it's a busy time in the big world of ours. All right, Christian, thanks very much. Take care. We'll talk again. I know that.
My pleasure. Take care, Alex. Have a good morning.
There you go. That's Christian Loprecht. And if you're interested in his book, it is a new one, Polar Cousins, Antarctic and Arctic Geostrategic Futures. Just kind of rolls off your tongue, but you can actually download that. But he writes all about this.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.